Proverbs chapter 8. We'll continue our study. We're on a brighter note. We have looked at wisdom's appeal to us regarding immorality to stay away from that, and we saw the warnings about it. Now we're going into the praise of wisdom, and we see wisdom personified. We'll see that as we go through the chapter, how Jesus Christ is wisdom. Today we're going to look at wisdom's cry, wisdom's appeal. In Proverbs 8:1, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse in them. They're all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. We're going to take just half of that. But Bill, would you lead us to the throne of grace? Amen. Now wisdom is crying. Remember what wisdom is. Wisdom is knowledge applied. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, reverential trust. Wisdom involves the knowledge of God and a relationship with Him. And we see from the New Testament that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Jesus Christ. So wisdom becomes very personal. In fact, we'll see that. In this chapter, wisdom is personified in Christ. A person might have much knowledge, but not have wisdom. You have to have Christ to have wisdom. He is wisdom. Christ and his work on the cross, the wisdom of God, the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1. Now, we have previously seen the cry of wisdom. In fact, the book starts out that way. If you go back to Proverbs chapter 1, we see an appeal here. God is the one that is seeking. Wisdom is appealing to men to seek, and he is seeking men. And therefore, a person's search for wisdom is actually a response to God's search for them, biblically. And let's look at Proverbs 1:20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. And then he goes on to show the result if one doesn't respond. And by the way, you notice the Holy Spirit is poured out in salvation through faith. You know, the initial point for a person to receive wisdom is the cross and faith in Jesus Christ and his redemptive work, because then a person's born of God, and then the Holy Spirit guides into truth and they understand the things of Christ, and the light comes on, doesn't it, at that point. So how important to respond to wisdom's cry. Wisdom is crying. Wisdom is appealing to man. Now let's go back to Proverbs 8 and the latter part of the chapter. I want to show you how this chapter ends. It ends with an appeal, a cry of wisdom. Proverbs 8:32 says, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. So how we need it, and how valuable wisdom is. Wisdom is essential. Now, wisdom cries. Doth not wisdom cry? There's a discourse going on here. And understanding put forth her voice, or cause her voice to be heard. Now, God does this. And God does make available to man wisdom. God has spoken. God has revealed himself. And primarily, we know he's done that through the scriptures. He's done that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's the subject of the scriptures. And so God has spoken in Son. Now, let me read the following verses, and then I want to go into some applications of this. In Proverbs 8:1, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? Now notice this. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors, unto you, O men, I call. Now, the thought here is she plants herself. She stands in the top of the high places. She plants herself there. She makes herself very prominent to be heard. And in the way, in the places of the paths, in other words, the common paths of man, wisdom makes herself available. She cries at the gates. The gates would be the places of judgment, the courts. You might recall that incident years ago where a judge down south, he had the Ten Commandments on the wall, you know. And some minority group got upset about that, pushing religion. And, of course, the laws of the land are based on this book, though. And he quit over that. But there was wisdom. Well, it's wisdom, his word. And so it's in the courts. And entering into the city and the coming at the doors, actually you have the exit and the entrance are covered. In other words, wherever men may be, you have wisdom, and you have, in other words, and the cry of wisdom. You have the word of God, and I want to go into that. Now, it goes way back, doesn't it, in the Old Testament, where God, through the prophets, spoke, and God gave the word of God. Now, the children of Israel had the main advantage. What advantage hath a Jew much every way? Chiefly because unto them was given the oracles of God. God actually spoke. God spoke from Mount Sinai. God gave the tables of the law. God gave the written scriptures. And then, of course, now we have the New Testament. We have wisdom personified who came, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And let's go to the New Testament on this. And, of course, this is the pinnacle of wisdom. This is what men need to see, what they need to hear. They need to hear God's Son. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. 1 Corinthians 1:24. There's a simplicity about it. You don't have to have an IQ of 180 or whatever high IQ is. You have to have faith, right? You have to have a heart that is open to receive. In 1 Corinthians 1:24. But unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Christ is. He is wisdom. If a person doesn't know him, they don't know wisdom. Not the wisdom of God. Now the world by wisdom knew not God. There is a wisdom of the world, right? And that's a wisdom that leaves God out. But we're talking at the wisdom of God that begins with the fear of the Lord. Let's go to Colossians 2. This book refutes the Gnostics who claimed to have higher knowledge, but they left Jesus out, and he's showing knowledge is found in Christ, true knowledge. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2, it's actually a prayer and a goal of Paul. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement or the full knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now that, of course, begins with salvation. When a person understands by faith, we understand by, and the Holy Spirit gives light And it is a revelation of God, isn't it? The gospel is a revelation of God. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ shines into your soul. But then there's a growth in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that is a growth in wisdom. Now, let's on this thought, though, of wisdom crying, let's consider Christ when he was here. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." But he cried out, didn't he, in the one feast there. He cried out, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his heart shall flow rivers of water." And this spoke he of the Holy Spirit, who was not yet given because he wasn't yet glorified. But he cried out, "Come." And there was the invitation to come to him. And he would give life. And he would give rest to men's souls. So wisdom cries. Wisdom cried in the person of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, he completed his work, his death, his resurrection. Wisdom cried through the apostles. And, in fact, it was very well proclaimed. Let's go to Colossians 1 just to show you how extensively this was so. We don't have every document on this historically, but here's a good statement on it. In Colossians 1:5, Paul, verse 5, he says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth." So apparently in the early church, you had a great missionary endeavor. You have some of that recorded in the book of Acts, but it's not limited to that. And so wisdom cried. Wisdom cried through Christ. Wisdom cried through the apostles. Wisdom still crying through the fulfillment of the Great Commission to the church. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Mark 16:15, it is our responsibility. We are a debtor, right, to every man. And so wisdom is crying through the gospel as it goes out. And it's God's will that in the gates and in the paths and in the entrance and in the exits. In other words, it's God's will that Christians would shine as lights in the workplace, in the places of education, in the neighborhoods, you know, where wisdom is crying by life and by word. That's his will, right? That's one great reason that we are here. And so I rejoiced. Jim had his thesis for his master's in math, and some of us went up on Wednesday, and it was very good. It was way above my head. it was statistics on the estimation of the mortality. In other words, it was estimating when you will die according to such and such an age. I can't explain it. He had a formula it boiled down to, and it was very good. And at the end he said, "There's a second death. And I'm not going to be subject to that because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." Well, there's about 10 professors in the math department of YSU there. It's a very good opportunity. And, Song Wei, she does the same thing. Her students come in there and she gives her testimony. Every group of new students that come in there every year, every semester. And so wisdom is crying, right? And wisdom is crying if you knock on doors, you know, or you're in the workplace. We have the Bible classes. Rejoice in that class. Ben has at Kent State, Butek. Wisdom's crying. It's available, right? God's making it available in the nursing homes, in the century house where Dawn is, and in the hospital, skilled nursing unit, and assisted living. There's about 8 different places along that line just through this church, and I'm sure a lot of others. Wisdom is crying. And then Bible Club, I think we've seen more souls say that way than any other, where children come to the Lord and picked up all over town, and where wisdom is crying, and there's an appeal. And the testimony, just in society of believers throughout this world, wisdom is crying. And if you were at the conference, you saw the Chinese group. There's about 30 coming out to Athens Bible Church right now from China. That are students. And then they go back. They get grounded in the word, you know, and then they go back. So wisdom is crying is the point. It is spreading. The gospel is going out. And we can rejoice in that. But the point is, in all these different locations, God has a witness. God is appealing. And so man doesn't have any excuse. And God is very good at bringing it right down to where people can hear it. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. And I'm sure each one here, you have certain associations and contact with people that you can reach that other Christians cannot reach, and so wisdom is crying through you. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 11, "For this commandment," 30, verse 11, "this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil." But the point is, it's right there. You know, in America, men have very little excuse, because just about everybody has a Bible. If you stay in a motel, most likely there's a Gideon Bible there. If you turn the television on, most likely you could hear the gospel. And so men don't have much excuse. But wisdom is crying, is the point. He's reaching out. God is faithful to give a witness. Okay, let's go back in Proverbs 8. In verse 4. Now, who's he crying to? Doesn't say he's crying to the angels. Although the angels desire to look into these things, the gospel going out, and the angels learn wisdom by the church, they are observing. But wisdom is crying to men. Verse 4. "Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. To you, O men, is my discourse addressed. My call is to the children of men." God loves men. That's interesting. Let's stop a moment on this. And what is the point here? God, okay, he created the heavens and the earth. He created earth. It's called the blue planet, you know. It's the only one with life on it, water. And where God is working. And he created, after he created everything, he created the Garden of Eden. He created man, put him in that paradise. Created woman, brought her to the man. And so he created man in his own image. And he created man with a special purpose, and that, of course, is to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. And we have the capacity to fellowship with him. Well, you know the story. Man fell. And so man, in his fallen state, needs reconciliation. And it can only be by the grace of God, because it's not in man to bring it about. And man has no righteousness of his own. So God, in his wisdom, is crying to man. And he loves men. He loves the souls of men whom he created in his image. And man, being a race, of course, has a federal head, Adam. In Adam all die. Well, we have a new federal head, right? And the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ all are made alive. Now that's Romans 5. Pardon me. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. Now if you're in Christ, then, well, the image of God is restored through the new creation. And in sanctification, the image is being developed, isn't it? We grow in the knowledge of Christ, the grace of knowledge, and he's conforming us to the image of his Son. Ultimately in heaven, we will be in his image perfectly. But God is appealing to man, and the great potential is there in man. And God has a plan for man. It's amazing. So you're not just a step up from the kangaroo or whatever, you know, where man, the liberals would like to relate man to one of the animals, and they're all haywire in their thinking because they don't realize what the Bible's teaching about the dignity of man, what God made man. So, "Unto you, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of men." So now we see whom he's calling, and his voice is what is calling them. Now, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now, we don't want to think we're going to hear anything audible. We're not. However, we have the scriptures, and we have the completed canon of God's inspired word. That's why, by the way, you're not going to hear anything audible, because don't add or take away from the words of this book. God's already said what he's going to say. But wisdom is crying, and his voice is appealing to the sons of men through the scriptures. And let's go to the New Testament in 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 19, quite exciting to have the Bible. We are still enjoying the effects, aren't we, of the Bible conference, good Bible teaching. There's nothing like the Word of God, because it is the Word of God. In 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, more sure than an eyewitness account like Peter relates in the previous verses, "Whereunto ye do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." In other words, man did not originate it. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit," Holy Ghost. And so it's a great thing, isn't it? This process of inspiration by which God ensures to us the accuracy of those original autographs. And it is his holy word, and he's preserved it. So we can believe it, and that's his voice, that's his appeal. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And men are born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. So it's very powerful. So as we give it, wisdom is appealing, wisdom is crying, right? We need to know what to do. Give them the word. Jesus said that in John 17, "I've given them thy word, those whom thou hast given me." Well, that's what we need to do. That's where the power and blessing are. That's what reveals Jesus Christ. God has spoken in Son. That's his primary message, but he does it through his word. And so there's life in it. There's power in it. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." It's truth, right? And it's living. So there's nothing quite like it. All Scripture is inspired by God and it's profitable. Literally, it means it is God-breathed. And so it's a no-brainer, isn't it? Preach the Word in season, out of season. And so there's God's message. That's his voice. He's appealing to man, but he's appealing to man through the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make wise unto salvation. And he's appealing to man. He's appealing not just to the unsaved. Now, I've been making that application through this, but it isn't limited to that. The application does seem to be primarily to that, though, because if you go to Proverbs 8, notice in verse 5, he says, "O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, even understanding heart." And so he's referring to those who need wisdom initially, but there's another application to this. And that's the fact that wisdom is crying to you and I. And he is, you know. And through the Spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit. And he, through the Scriptures, wants to draw us closer to him, doesn't he? He wants to give us more light. And we surely want to be in that place where we keep an open heart and an open mind to be taught by the Holy Spirit, who guides us into all truth and shows us the things of Jesus Christ. And that's quite exciting when you consider that there's no limit in this thing of the Christian life, that we can keep going to higher ground with it, can't we? We can keep growing in our knowledge of the Lord. We're just scratching the surface of this because we're looking at God, who is transcendent. And so I'll come back to that thought, though. Now let me go on in our context here in verse 5. He is appealing very specifically to those who are in dire need. We see two titles here. "O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart." And there's some others that are in this group. There's a little fellowship of them. You've got the scorner and the scoffer, and you have the sluggard, We'll just look at these two. We've seen them before, but I want to review just a little bit of who this is. Who is the simple? Apprehend, O ye simple ones, what wisdom is, and ye fools, what understanding is. The simple is one who's easily led. He's gullible. He's naive. That seems to be what stands out about the simple. And let's compare Proverbs chapter 14. We don't want to be overly simplistic in our definition of him, because there's something in each of us that would relate to this. It's called the old man, the flesh. And we can be naive if we don't watch it. Proverbs 14:15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. We studied in our ministry class yesterday, 1 Thessalonians 5, about prove all things, test all things, evaluate it. Well, the simple wouldn't do that. They're just going to believe every word and go right on. And notice Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And so that's a person. They're naive, the simple, who very much need wisdom. Now, the simple, though, are also wayward. Let's go back to Proverbs 1. And this is they're willful in this and irresponsible. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Now, you notice there's a turning away, so there's a waywardness here. There seems to be a willfulness involved and an irresponsibility. However, the simple can learn. In fact, the appeal to the simple is that they would receive wisdom. So the potential is there for the simple to become wise. And, for instance, let's go to Proverbs 19:25. Usually, though, if I could put it in crude terms, it's a 2x4 up against their head that makes them learn. In Proverbs 19:25, it says, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. In other words, they need a visual. You know how kids need a visual for Sunday school? Well, actually, we need visuals too, but we make our own, don't you? You make visuals in your mind. Well, the simple, if he sees somebody else punished for sin, he beholds that. You know, he's going to learn from it. That's the thought. So he can learn. And then, now I'm not going to turn to this because we saw it extensively, but you remember in Proverbs chapter 7, the man who goes aside and he half courts temptation there with the adulterous woman, and he's called simple because he courts temptation and he doesn't realize the horrible consequences. He doesn't know that it's for his life, and he's like an ox going to the slaughter. So that's the simple. That's the one to whom wisdom is appealing. And let me go back to Proverbs 1. I should have started here because the Proverbs start out with an appeal to this one. In Proverbs 1:4, so it just proves here that wisdom can be given to the simple. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. And in Proverbs 1:22, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. So the simple can learn, the simple can hear wisdom, so that's why wisdom is appealing to them. Okay, now that's the first group there. O simple, understand wisdom, or apprehend, O ye simple ones, what wisdom is. And again, remember the appeal is through the scriptures. God is appealing to them, and the presentation of Jesus Christ, who is wisdom. And then in Proverbs 8:5b, he says, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Now, the fool, the word itself, it means dull and obstinate. But it isn't referring to him intellectually, but spiritually. In fact, the fool, he might even be well educated. Professing himself to be wise, he becomes a fool. And this Dullness or obstinacy, therefore, in the spiritual realm is by choice. And let's go to Proverbs 15:14. Proverbs 15:14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. Now that's his, he's got a desire for it, right? But the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. So it does infer that this is what he wants. And he actually doesn't have a heart for wisdom. Let's go to Proverbs 17:16, where we see this. He doesn't see the value of it. Always reminds me of a teacher came up to me in college when I had a Bible class there, and so I had the Bible, and he said, "You don't believe that book, do you? Snakes talking?" You know, he's mocking the word. And Proverbs 17, and I do believe it. I believe that happened. I believe it literally that happened, because it's God's word. But 17:16, he says, "Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it?" So he doesn't really desire it. And 17:24 says, "Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth." In other words, he's looking everywhere else except where he should be. And then notice in chapter 24, verse 7, again, the fact that he doesn't have a heart for wisdom. 24:7. "Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate." So it's way above him. He doesn't comprehend that realm. In fact, he's very insensitive to it. Let's go to Proverbs 17:10. "A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool." So he's insensitive. And now he's a deceitful one. Just looking at the highlights of how he's described. Proverbs 14:8. We'll see him over and over in Proverbs. Proverbs 14:8. "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit." And also he's contentious about it. And let's go to Proverbs 18:6. You're going to know what he thinks. "A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes." Now, along that line, by the way, he openly displays that he is a fool. And let's go to Proverbs 13:16. "Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly." And Proverbs 15:2. "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." And, well, maybe just one more here. Proverbs 29:11. "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." So, now there's many others. I have to turn to some of these. Bear with me. Proverbs 1:7. "The fool is impatient of advice." He doesn't want to hear advice. In fact, he thinks he knows quite a bit. Proverbs 1:7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8. "The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall." 12:15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." And 15:5, one more on that one. In 15:5, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." And now, a fool is hard to change. Now, one more verse here. Proverbs 27:22. As well as the simple. It's hard to get through to him. In Proverbs 27:22, "Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him." Now that's a graphic one. And so, what's the answer? Well, just like you and I. the gospel, the power of the gospel shines through, doesn't it? Now, I didn't turn to it, but you know the passage, most likely Psalm 14:1. The fool says, what? There is no God. And he doesn't have the fear of God. And there are other things about him we'll see as we study through. We'll see this fool. And he doesn't think that there are consequences to his actions. And so that's the fool. Now the amazing thing is, not that there are fools, but that wisdom appeals to fools, and that they can actually receive it, and that the gospel can shine through to them, and that God can open their eyes. And so, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. God can do it, because the gospel has power. It, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ can shine unto them. So we don't want to give up on souls, right? Right to their last breath. We don't want to give up on trying to appeal to them with the gospel. Regardless of whatever the background may be, we want to give it to them. There's a man, you might pray for him, he's dying. His name is Charlie Lenz, and he's in the nursing home. And he prayed with me yesterday to trust Christ as a Savior. And he's very concerned about his soul. He has pancreatic cancer, he's old, and he knows he doesn't have much time. And so he said that, I hope God will be merciful on our souls. So you know he's just wide open. He just needs an explanation there. And then yesterday he understood. He wanted to trust Christ. And went back later, and he was a banker, so he's an intelligent man, and I asked him, you have peace about that, Charlie? And he said, most assuredly. And so I trust that he's truly saved. But I'm not saying he'd fall into this category here as a simple or a fool. But the point is, the gospel has power, and we want to keep giving it, right? And whatever opportunity that we have, and whatever position people may be in, they have the same need that we did. They need their souls to be saved. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to as many as believe. Now, I want to go back to that thought that I had, though, where we have applied this primarily to the unsaved and how wisdom is crying and the gospel is going out. It went out through Christ. It went out through the apostles. It's going out through the church today all over the world. And the truth is reaching people where they are. That's the key, isn't it? You have to, it's like Vernon McGee would say, you want to put it in shoe leather. It needs to be outlived, and it needs to be right where people are, where you can reach them with the gospel. And shame on us if we don't do it, because that's what we're called to do, right? And we have the privilege of giving it. We have the answer. Not that we're any better, because it's only the grace of God that sought us out and saved our souls. But the point is, we do have the answer. And it is the power of God to salvation. And so we want to appeal to them. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear, Jesus said in the giving of the parables. And you know Revelation 2 and 3. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now that's an appeal to God's people. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And so God is appealing for man to listen. Now, as Christians, let me make this application in closing. Let's go to Psalm 119. You remember in the first part of our study in Proverbs that wisdom isn't just the giving of the light of the gospel, but it'll make a person who has knowledge to have more, a person who has wisdom to have more, in so many words. In Psalm 119, so we want to be in that category, right, where we're still learning, we're still listening. I can't remember which preacher it was in the conference. If you stop learning, you're in trouble. And we don't want to stop learning. And in Psalm 119:33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Now that's just one section among many passages where you have that appeal to be taught by God. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. And that's our privilege, isn't it? To be taught of God, where the Holy Spirit can open it up to us, where we can know the things of Christ, and he's showing them to us and making them precious. And remember, wisdom isn't just knowledge, but knowledge applied. So it has to do with the truth applied to our lives personally, where we are rightly adjusted to God's revelation. Now that is part of the challenge of wisdom, and that is where we're also going to be growing. So it's not just the theology class, right? But it's the application class, life. And we'd never arrive, right? Can we live it? Can we walk in it? Can we walk in the truth of it? Now there is where we're going to know it, because we'll know it experientially. But how we need God to give us light every day and to personally apply it. I'm sure there's certain things in everyone's life in areas where we need wisdom, don't we? We need wisdom. And it's good to have that heart to teach me wisdom. What would you have me to do, Lord, in this situation? And God will give it. That's the beauty of it, because he gives wisdom. He upbraids not, and we have to ask in faith, James 1. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for thy book of wisdom. We thank thee that wisdom cries. We thank thee that you appeal to us through the word of God. We rejoice in it. We thank thee for wisdom that we have in Jesus Christ. And Father, bless us through this word today. Help us also not just to receive it, but to give it out. Help us to be faithful witnesses and to walk in wisdom towards those that are outside, redeeming the time, buying up the opportunity. Give us grace by life and by word to be a witness, that wisdom would cry in the streets and wherever there's access to men. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.